I am so glad for this day. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All of you that love Pastor Dave as much as I, we've been really anticipating. It's been 8 years. 8 years to the month. Somebody cued us in this morning. I was guessing 8 years, and it has been 8 years in November this month. So I'm glad he's back. And we've been continuing on and doing everything the Holy Spirit has taught us. In 1997, many of you have heard my testimony, and I'll keep it brief, but I've just got to share with you that we're so glad to have what I term as my spiritual father in the faith. In 97, I was real hungry, extremely, extremely hungry, and coming to the end of one part of my life, as the business part of my life. And I was living, I had a large house on acreage in Fort Myers, and there was church just down the street. And I appreciated this ministry. I'd attended there a few times at a different occasion. But every year they had a conference. And Pastor Dave, that I did not know, he would share time there with, up-and-coming guys like Jerry Savelle and Kenneth Copeland. And I guess they'd all fly their planes in, and that's probably when he flew his planes in, too. And that's great. And he would share the pulpit with those guys. But I never knew him then. He was right across the street. And it took a place of desperation in my life. I come home one day from work and had spent a lot of time during that time praying and looking for God. Called to the ministry. Knew I was called. And just out of desperation and a hunger for more of him, I said, God, I know that you're doing something in the earth. Send me, please. Show me. Send me a mentor. Somebody that'll take me into the next step. Well, Howard Kreider always says, if you get real, 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 real hungry for God and start crying out for God, he said somebody will walk up and give you one of Pastor Dave's books. Well, a lady in this church started feeding me some dinosaur cassette tapes at the time, and the man's name on it was Dave Roberson, and everything since then has been history and a wonderful history. Are you glad that he's here this morning? Let's give him a great big hand as he comes.
Hallelujah. Thanks, Brock. Yeah. There isn't much that I appreciate more than testimonies. And it feels good to know that you did the right thing, you know. Do you know this is 40 years for me in ministry? Amen. I was talking to Brock. I said, I can still remember basically the day I walked off my job and three little kids, no income, afraid to get up in front of a crowd, that the fear to getting sick over it. But still, when I had the vision, I walked off. The day I saw my first miracle and got up for the first time to literally say something to a group of people was, I was hiding in the kitchen and he was trying to introduce me, and I was afraid to come out. It was just a kid with a guitar. Finally, I thought, it's got to happen sometime. So I went out, and I memorized the Kenneth Hagin message. A young boy, Baptist, bed of affliction. And I went in the other room, and well, they prayed, and I couldn't, my mind would go blank after every word from fear. And it lasted until, I thought, I know what I'll do, I'll call a prayer. Anybody need prayer? two people come up. Well, that's not bad since there's only about seven. Now it's just one-on-one. I'm a little better. Ma'am, what do you need? What, you want prayer for something?
Yes, Sonny.
What do you need?
I have a deaf ear.
Shh. You have a what?
A deaf ear.
Shh. I'll pray for it. Okay?
Okay, Sonny.
Go. Open. I couldn't say it real loud. I didn't know what I was praying for. Open. Open. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then I just... test things out a little bit. I said, can you hear me? She said, I can hear you. And I said, you can? I can hear you. Oh, my God. Then, no more quiet. She had a deaf ear. I prayed for her. And it opened. I said, from that day to this, I haven't lost an ounce of excitement. Every day that I get up, I look forward to walking in the Spirit. I love Him more today than I did then. It never gets old, and I'm as ready to go as I ever was.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Last week, where I come here, I was in Brazil, and I told him about my room, and he wouldn't get me one like it. But anyway, the conference was in this hotel. Well, just held 1,000 people, and so we could get 1,000 in. But they had a suit on the top this week because it was a rich person's hotel kind of thing. And I didn't have nothing to do with that. I just preached in the meeting. They set it up. You know, they got me the suite. I had a swimming pool in the room. And a sauna, and the hallways, and I'm going, gee, and hallelujah. So I go teaching and preaching, and there was over 100 Baptist ministers there. Over 100, not to count the other things that took place, the miracles, see. So they got me finally to, they said, would you go on a local television station? And a guy come to the meeting on the station. And I said, yeah. And so I'd get 15 minutes in a cook show because he wasn't there. So they were cooking and I got 15 minutes. So she was cooking and then a host would come over and she'd talk to me for a minute. Are you a minister? And yes, ma'am. And she'd go back and they'd stir it a little and she'd talk and I got 15 minutes to say something finally. And she says, well, tell me something, about God. I said, ma'am, I said, everything the cross has provided. I mean, born again nature, sickness and some pains, the healing and peace, everything is provided, the path to the miracles, to the cross. The path is just as sovereign, just as final, and just as finished as the cross itself. Why would He do all of that and have no path to get you there? I have a key that can get you there every single time. And it's called praying in tongues. He goes, oh, God. She didn't quite know what to say. Well, in the meeting, God had just filled I don't know how many people's teeth with gold and all teeth miracles, and about a fourth of the crowd's eyes was healed and all kinds of things. So the girl that was translating for her brother got 3 gold fillings in his big rotten cavities. And he says he thought, felt like I was eating a hot dog. It tasted like it. And I went, and there they were in my mouth. There was holes, and now there's gold. And anyway, it was his sister interpreting for me on the air. So I said, we'll just skip the stuff, you know, all the minor things. And we'll just go straight to the teeth, because her brother got 3 gold fillings. Well, they had 6 books they wanted to offer to first callers, The Walk of the Spirit. Some lady gets the book, and I don't know how she got it so quick. I think she was there. But she gets the book and then gets home, and we're on. And so when I was talking about the teeth, she paid, well, I'll receive that. And she got 9 gold fillings, and her son got 3. And their front room's at home. So I don't know how many, several hundred was filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many was healed. I don't know what happened to all those preachers. But coming back here, I was looking so forward to it. Because when I pulled off the road for a period of time, that's why I hadn't been back. And it took me 2 years to clear all my meetings so I could go home. Then I went home and I parked myself on God's. I wanted to find out what do you get? What's really the whole answer to everything you can do or ever will do? What is it? I mean, what leads you there? How do you get there? Compounded by what I knew, edification, praying. Little did I know that it was the praying in tongues, the edification, that brought me to that time to pull off. Because he that searches the heart knows what is the mind or the plan of the Spirit, and that enables him to make intercession for us according to the will of God. And then we can know all things and begin to work together for the good of them, love of God, and call according to his purpose. You can't pray 10 minutes in the Holy Ghost without him working something.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
See, and I know you know that. I got this corner to take up here, and I'm going, well, let me see. Does it? No. No. Well, no. No, when you pray it out, it's like this. You make the turn before you get there.
Hallelujah.
See, he's the one that worked this. I wanted to know what was the most powerful, the most incredible thing that he could ever give you. That would be his power, what would it be? And you know what it turned out to be? You can tell me. Try. That's right. It turned out to be the love of God. You know how much that having no ought against anybody has to do with answered prayer. We think he don't answer or don't hear. Trust me. He does. Why would he say things like, if you could say to the mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, and but if you got something against somebody, stop the prayer.
Yes, sir.
Go make it right.
Yes, sir.
then come back. Finish the prayer. Or up. Bring an offering up. Just before you put it in, you remember? You got out against somebody? Put it back in your pocket.
Yes, sir.
Go make it right, because I can tell you something. He answers prayer. He moves. You're what this is all about. So why don't you just leave you sitting there out in the standard, stranded? He wouldn't. And he don't. You're what it's all about. If you don't get this world saved, he doesn't have another plan. It was already destroyed once. And the next 2,000 years he got Jesus in. He doesn't have another plan. There's no other way for him to harvest the fruit of this field except us. You're what it's all about. You. Now, just because I'm 40 years in ministry, when somebody been in it that long, and has known that message on edification and working the plan of God, when they tell you something, you should listen. Well, I came off the road. And I parked myself. And I'd pray in tongues. And I broke into some worship. And broke into more. I didn't take away from the tongues. I divided it up. I give a season to the worship, knowing I was going to go back to the tongue, which I found out created the season. But he took my spirit and he gave it a bath in the love of God. Since God is love, then I got my first real bath. I mean, he doesn't have love. He is. He doesn't have truth. He is truth. See, with him, it's impossible. See, well, I don't get it. God's capable of anything. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's not. It's impossible. Impossible for him to lie.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Impossible for him to lie. Ooh, and what did he give me to use? My word I give unto you. What did he give me to use but his truth? If it don't line up with it, it doesn't really have a choice. See, I trying to get up there to read, but I can't hardly. I try to make it like official, like quote now. But he takes me back to the days before they had Bibles in their laps. What did they do then?
You didn't read that out of the Bible.
Well, where is one? Well, there's a letter coming from Paul. Yeah, but it's not in the Bible yet. See, I got to talking to Bronk and got carried away with Genesis. You know about when God came walking in the garden. And you know there's something about it, even though He's God and He's come from forever and He's heading for forever. And He stopped and picked us up along the way. But there's something that's just more important to Him than anything else, and that's the right for us to make decisions. Without that, there is no fellowship.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
Shut up. It's just a program. There's no fellowship with the robot. But it means everything to Him. I mean everything. He paid a horrible price. It means everything to Him to know that when you lift your hands and tell Him that I love you, that that was your choice to do so. Our free will, moral agency, free will to deceive. There's something about God that He needs fellowship just like you and I. I don't know how many eternities He spent alone, but I do know when we come along, He called us His sons and His daughters. And I do know that it means everything to Him that when you tell Him you love Him, it's out of a fellowship that you have with Him. You wasn't forced into it. It's because you do love Him. When He's talking to Adam, you know that's Genesis is recorded in types. Like Satan isn't really a snake that crawled around on the ground. He used a typology. When He was talking to him, He said you could eat of every tree of the garden, but knowledge of good and evil. And of course, when He came, they hid because they knew evil then. They knew they were wrong and doing wrong, and they hid. And He says, who told you you were naked? Did you? He knew. Did you eat of the tree? And she said, well,
the Satan, he...
First one He judged after that was Satan. He said, look, because he had lost Adam, you know. In his DNA, you were there. He says, Adam, if you'd have been hiding behind a tree, more conversation went on, but what's recorded, they documented what happened. Adam, why did you do it? You know I can't lie. Don't you understand? I can't lie. Now, I've lost you. You're dead. You have another nature, don't you know? And I can't lie. You know how much He loved you. You were there. You was in His DNA. He loved you so much that He prophesied 4,000 years into the future. When He turned on Satan, born a woman, that's Mary will be a seed that will bruise your head to destroy the power of death that he had. Born a woman, Mary, will be a seed that will bruise your head. There's your first Christmas. Prophesied 4,000 years into the future to his son, who'd be the first one to be born again, spiritually alive. So that's the first thing he did, was prophesied that judgment which was to come on Jesus and place all our death on him. And when that happened, everything he did from then on, he charged to the cross to be paid in full when Jesus rose from the dead. First thing he did is he turned around and killed an animal and shed his blood as a type of Jesus's, and then made clothing for Adam and Eve and met their first need. He loved you that much to prophesy 4,000 years ahead and to go through sin and floods, endless genealogies, laws, what to eat and what you can't eat, the holiness under the types, the shadows. Thousands of years he went through all of that tediously for one reason: to get you back. And when you go before him, you think he don't hear you. He went through all of that. And when you say, "Father, in Jesus' name," you think he don't hear you. You think he's not listening? There's not two of you. He only made one. He even took Eve from him. There's not two of you. There's only one. We're the result of Adam. And he went through all of that to get us back. And I'm not going to insult him by going into his presence and insinuating he doesn't hear me when I pray for the lost. That's cute personified. I got somebody this tall listening to me. When I found this authority based on the love he had for me, it changed from what did we want? We want money. We want power. We want authority. It changed my wants to him. He's it. So when I begin to break into that kind of fellowship and in the private worship, little did I know he'd start bathing my spirit in the love of God. Little did I know I don't even know if I can go there. Of the millions and millions of people, if you'd have been the only one, he still would have came. So this authority I found based on love instead of turning it on cars and things like that. The side effects, I turned it on people. I can remember the first days of my excitement. And I was way up in Tucson, Arizona, way up in the high desert. This is my first exciting days over His love. My son David, if you know him, you know he loves to go into the desert anywhere and hunt down snakes and any kind of critter that crawls or sneaks or anything. He just loves the outdoors. And he said, can I have the car when I go hunting? I knew there was no use arguing with him. It's desert. I was getting ready to preach a meeting there. So David goes out in the desert and goes hunting. Drove way out somewhere. I don't know if he got lost or what, but he found a little dirt road and he got on it. And there was some kind of little old station there, so it was near a main road. But it was off in the wilderness, I mean. He pulls up to it, and a guy comes out. And he said, can I help you? And he looked in the back window of the car, and the book was there. Walk of the Spirit, the Walk of Power. He just got... His face just went into shock. And he stepped back and he said, where'd you get that book? And David said, my dad wrote it. He said, no, he didn't. He said, yes, he did. And David had to get his driver's license out to prove it. Now here we live 1,000 miles from there, Oklahoma. And this guy, he just turns white, you know, it's just shock. He's just shocked. And David said, why? He said, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, my wife, 2 children, were driving and I got killed. Car wreck. We used to go to a little church over here. He said, I don't believe in a God that'd take your wife and your children. I don't believe in it. He said, but she had got a hold of a book and she just loved it. She was reading it. He said, so this morning when I got up, I decided, God, I'll just make it too hard. If I can meet the guy that wrote that book by tonight, I'll believe in you again. David says, get in the car. Come on. What will he do? What will he do for people? Come on.
Hallelujah.
I opened the door. He's standing there. He said, pray for me. He lifted his hands. He laid out in front of the hotel on the sidewalk for 30 minutes.
Ooh, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. And when you pray for people, we think, what would he say? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, because He needs you. You can't call somebody's name out to Him and call them saved. That He will not begin to loose a host of people that can hear Him, and they will be on a migration course to intercept Him at some point. Just because you prayed and believed that He would do it.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Boy, when I if you're going to go ahead, drown me out. Hallelujah. So don't think for a minute I didn't start listing relatives. Now I'm going to give you this one. But you really have to give them to him, then turn them loose. No matter what it looks like they're doing and the hell they're raising, just smile. You know what you did to them. Just smile. They're not your problem anymore. So I thought, boy, I just loved Uncle Leon. When I was a kid, he'd come and visit us all the time. He'd throw me way up, and not just a little way. He'd throw me way up in there and catch me. So I just love Leon. And so I'm preaching in California, Bakersfield, around that area. And I'm thinking, well, I thought that he was somewhere around here. And so I call people I could think of. And they says, where's Leon at? Finally, I got an address from his brother, another uncle. And I go, where in the world could this be? Oh, my goodness. Well, I went in and got the pastor when he came that night. I said, do you have any idea where this is? He said, yeah, come here. We walked out in the parking lot. He pointed at the building across the alley and says, it's right there. And I said, what? I knock on the door. This little guy, I thought he was this tall, bigger than me. He said, oh, come on here. I said, Leon? He said, yeah. I said, remember me? You called me Bud. My nickname's Bud. Bertha, your sister's boy. He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, when he threw me up in the air and stuff. He said, what are you doing here? I said, at church across the alley? I'm preaching a meeting. I'm a preacher now. He said, you are? I said, yeah. Would you come over? Would you come? Later I found out he had a colostomy bag. I preached, had an altar call, group of people come up. I looked up, and there Leon. He's standing there getting saved. He died within 2 years. Oh, come on. I can go on. God's not making it hard, and He's not looking for a way out of it. He's using all the authority He can, and us still remain free. Going to be this way for an eternity. You'll always be a person of decisions and choices and love. See? But for you to think for 1 minute, He's not after the people you love with everything in Him. The only thing He needs is you. When you give them to Him. You know, for a long time, Paul bothered me. Apostle Paul. He got beat up too much. And he bothered me because here he is just on the road to this man. You got that? For if you'll hear what the Spirit says, that you'll see in your lifetime, or I'll see to it that you find out. For those who you give to me, you do release me to move in their lives. And to compound those moves day by day as I'm able to move on others to pray. So take this to heart and be strong and know that you're what this is all about. Now, what I was about to say was more important than that. He already said that. Come on. Orice kore andula frabos kese. Zin kore habuet shotolase. Dan hokese. From the place of authority that you hold with me has mostly been lost in religion. For they use it for things that are self-serving. If that's not who I am, and that's not the way that I am. People is whom I'm about. I wouldn't that any be lost if it was up to me. But I gave you your freedom, which you'll have for an eternity. Therefore, gird yourself up and become strong. For I desire to speak with you. For there's things that I have for you to do in my body, saith the Lord. Paul, I was about ready to go down and sit down right in the back and raise my hand and say, okay, all right, and get on with the message. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, in those years that I came home and prayed it in the Holy Ghost and started getting visitations with this love. And as it grew stronger and stronger in my fellowship with Him, I got thinking, God, how come I didn't know about this before? I mean, when Paul was on that road to Damascus, all of a sudden he's knocked down and a voice is saying, it's hard to kick against the bricks, isn't it? You ever beat a cactus up? You lose. So he says, is this Lord? Yeah, I am He whom you persecute. I'm thinking, what? Why did He just knock him down? Why did He knock him down on the ground? Can he play favorites? Why don't He knock all our relatives down? Why don't He just save people? Can't He just go after them because He wants to? Is that what He did with Paul? No. He held the coats of the young man, one being Stephen, who died underneath a hail of stones. And the last thing he uttered was, hold this knot, Paul. That's who he was talking to. And the guy stoning him, hold this knot to their charge. That's all God needed to knock the living daylights out of him, have a little talk, and serve him faithfully till the day he went home. All he needs from you. What's that parable? The man had a fruitless fig tree growing in his vineyard. Came out, and the keeper of the vineyard, the owner, says, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's not producing any figs. And they would have destroyed the tree, except one of those intercessors stepped in. Said, would you leave it alone a while? We'll dung about it and cultivate it, and we'll try to salvage it. Would you do that? He would have destroyed it before had an intercessor not stepped in and said, hold it. In parable before that, do you suppose that
the Tower of Siloam fell on the 18 and killed them. They were greater sinners than any other. He says, I tell you, no, that except you repent, you'll all perish. That's why he went into the next parable. The only reason your relatives might not be destroyed is because you're stepping in between them and the destruction to give God the time He needs to work in their life. See, I know this now. That's Pentecostal holiness hardcore. I'd send a woman to hell for an earring, much less a man. The men are pretty earringless here. But I don't care now. We'd send you to hell for putting britches on. Did you know anything about His love? Yeah, I knew the word. I could spell it. But other than that, it was critic's choice. That's all I did. I was a critic. You couldn't believe anybody can be. I mean, nobody's good enough to get healed, hardly. Somebody get healed, that was a tremendous act of mercy. Come on. Can you imagine? I discovered praying in tongues because He told me to get off my job and answer my call. And I didn't know what else to do. I tried to pray everything I could think of. And the left toe is connected to the left leg. I pray for that. Anything I could think of, and I still run out way before the hours of prayer. What I said, I'm going to pray like I worked. Big fat mouth. About 30 minutes in, I'm looking at my clock. Oh yeah, the dogs and the house and the kids. Oh, another 5 minutes. Thank goodness. I really started praying in tongues to survive the hours. I didn't know what it would do. I mean, who are we? God looked at us one day and says, I love them, but I lost them. And then He looks into the future and He says, oh, it looks like we're going to have to take their sins and stuff. Third person said, I'll do that. I'll be born and I'll die. I'll do it. And then they can evangelize the world. I'll have to. And they looked ahead and says, look, they're getting little corners and say they're right. They're the church. They're the only, they hide in little corners and stuff. What are we going to do? Let's try to get them to pray. Well, look at this. Even though they have a new nature, we can just barely get them to pray. They acknowledge us, they know us, but prayer just isn't in their agenda. So finally, the Holy Spirit says, well, I guess it's come to this. I guess we're going to have to do their praying for them too. Do you think that if we provide the content of the prayer and provide the utterance, and the only thing we'll ask them to put to it is the authority when they utter it, which it's coming from them, we'll transfer this language to their spirit and then we'll have it form the word. So we'll provide the prayer, we'll provide the content of it, and we'll answer it. Do you think we can get them to pray? The rest is history. He got me. Did you know I'll be 70 in a year. 70 years old. I feel like I'm 20. Nothing creaks. Somebody hit me. You work out? Not really. What do you call it? Peace, joy, soundness, steadfastness, foundation immovable, victory. Every time when you can't see it, when hell has stacked tons of manure on it, you still can't get you to put your hands down and say something negative about the answer. You'll win. Paul, God snatched him up. Boy, he says, later, you know, the things I went through. He said, every time he went and whined to God, he said, my God, could they beat me up? The ship sank. I treaded water a day and a night in the deep. I lost 2 ships. 5 times I got 39 lashes, but they beat me. 3 times they broke all the bones in my feet, hitting me with rods. If that wasn't enough, they stoned me to death and drug me out of town. Do you think they don't like me? Not the talk, the believing, the lack, the income, all the responsibility that was laid on me. And finally, doctrine, you know. And he's moaning. God, my grace is sufficient. I really wasn't looking for that answer. So, God, they beat me up again. Now it's done with me. My grace is sufficient. You guys you need to know Jesus. You know, if you'd quit hitting me, I'd tell you about it. You know, okay, would you stop it? My grace says 3 times. 3 times. In his conclusion, he says, now I take pleasure. Persecution, afflictions, necessity, distresses. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong. Meaning, when circumstances and people stripped all my dependency off of the natural, when I was the weakest to depend on the natural, I became the strongest because it switched my dependency off of the flesh and onto the grace that said that I was free. So no matter what hell looked like, what they were going through, him, he'd raise his arms, praise God, worship him because he knew the answer. They didn't take his life. He's the one that said, I'm ready to be offered. Go ahead. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. So why has he finally got to the place? Was he taking pleasure in the beating? No, that's the saddest. That's no good. You know, there's people that like get whipped for pleasure. That's the saddest. That's not what he was. He says, in the middle of all this hell, I can raise my hands and take pleasure in the presence of God because of His grace. No matter what the circumstances around me are saying, they're not greater than You. So whatever hell comes my way, I want You to know that I'll take pleasure in You and Your presence here with me as I go through this. I am free. I like the second half of your church better than the first half. Drag that pulpit back here. They're listening better. Drive a long way to get here and they get a back seat. What kind of church is this? I'll tell you what kind it is. It's like ours. Yes, sir. All three times He's brought me back. The tongue interpretation. He's not let me get too far from the love. And each time, that's where He's brought me back, which is this time again, saying that we think we know what we're looking for. And after all those years of ministry, now this is translation, huh? A man can spend many years in ministry looking. And this is what he's looking for. He doesn't play favors with it. He doesn't love a single one of you more than he does the other. He is love. I quit trying. You know, I spent a couple of years not knowing. You know, trying to basically to get Him to love me, but He can't love me anymore. He maxed all He had when He paid the ultimate at the cross. See, He can't love me anymore. But I can stop and find out how to receive more of the love that He already loves me with. And that's why I came in off the road. I can tell you, it's so worth it. Perfected love, which He said perfect. I mean, that's what it gives us. Generally, we develop ourselves into it. But when it's perfected in you, never fails. And why would that be? Because you don't have any fear. Cast out all fear. So when it's heading you towards perfection, that's what's happening. Cast out all fear. Never fails. Never. Could you go on with more stories? Oh, you know I can tell you about one after another. After another. So you paid a price. Huh? I just did something that made me worthy to be stood up against and fought like a maniac. I found something the devil couldn't let slip by. Did you know that Japan has opened? Hallelujah. And Bronk knows that. Hallelujah. I've been saying that it's been open since I've been going to Brazil. Abigail was there when she came, I think. Well, you were there part of the time anyway. But he gave me Brazil 20 years ago, and he also gave me Japan.
But I knew that I had to wait on Japan for the right time. And I just got word last month, 2 months ago or a month and a half now, just got word that when we first come over 20 years ago, a strong group from Brazil went to Japan and established a strong colony and married into Japan. And they brought tapes, and then later they got the book. And it's in Portuguese, and the tapes are all translated. And these Japanese in that community speak Portuguese and Japanese. So there's a church there, and they got the book, and they got tapes. And they're starting to spread it all over that part of Japan, and they ask if we would come and hold the crusade there. But Japan is opening up now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me tell you something about Japan's future. Anybody hungry? See, right now, I know my belly tells me every time, right? Tell me something. Tell you about Japan a little. They thought they could conquer the whole world off of a rock about the size of Texas. They took over the car industry almost and shipped all their supplies in because of no real natural resources and still made better and cheaper cars. Well, maybe not better. Sometimes, depending on what their mindset was. I mean, every time the samurai in history, you didn't want to go up against him. He was the law. Your death was in his hands. They were the law of the villages and things, much less the warriors for the nation. You didn't want to fool with them. They made a move like this one night and then crossed, then back. They'd do it about 10,000 times at the highest speed imaginable until when they stepped up, you wouldn't even see them move. Much less arrow after arrow after arrow after arrow. That's the way they are. You give them a direct route to something, they're going to get there. This is how you make cars. They're going to get there. When they find out that the path to the cross and everything that it has provided is sovereign, is finished and final as the cross itself. You better get out of the way. Because they're going to try to conquer the world again. Only it'll be with the Bible. You think they're not going to spend hour, ore, in Portuguese, hour after hour. You think that they're not going to spend hour after hour after hour after hour praying in tongues and assimilating after finding out He's real and this works. They even made the TV we park ourselves in front of. He's like, how'd they do all that off of a rock? Who are they? We get to be part of it. So every time He brings you memory, would you hold Japan's time up before Him now, because it's up. So hold Him up. Hold Him up. We're on our way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just wait till one of them gets a big mouthful of gold.
where rotten cavities were. They'll go, he's real. You got that right. We're on TV all over Brazil.
Hallelujah.
Major gets somewhere into Florida too. Amen. Miami and some different places. So I've been on for a couple of years and I didn't even find out who was paying for it till this last meeting. I don't even know who's paying for all of that. God? I'd like to see a check he wrote. For many of you thought, and your thoughts went to a loved one that is lost. And you wanted to put them there in your heart. You wanted to put them in that place we're talking about. Oh, that's the interpretation. The For what is it that he hears? What is it that he answers? Is it not the heart? If you doubt not in your heart, you'll have what you say. And when you set your goal for the same things that are my goal, you'll see. If you'll stand your ground when the devil tries to cause all his chaos, you'll come out through the other side. He'll be left in the past and in the dust as far as me moving for you is concerned. So be strong when you enter in. Be strong and you'll see you'll harvest a fruit for your labor. Hallelujah. Are you shoving me back there or something? You want me to beat myself up again? As you can see, I wasn't anybody to fool with in high school. I really wasn't. But that's not good. This is good. This is good. Yes, Lord, you may say. Okay. If you have a loved one and you've got their name, make it plain. If it's a couple, make it plain. Be real distinct. Get their name. Don't be vague. With no mistake. No unbelief. No haphazardness. We're going to bring them to him. They'll be his problem. Only he loves it. If God was God and he was able to get frustrated, I probably would be. But I'm not. You can thank God for that. Yeah, I just get the biggest kick out of those preachers. They get off. They get worse and get wild-eyed and their mind goes. Pretty soon they stand up and say, I'm Jesus. I feel like saying, oh, shut up. They really think they're him. They're gone. I'm Jesus. Oh, get off yourself. Go on TV sometimes. Hallelujah. I'm glad they're not. Because when I got done talking about them, they'd have killed me. That proved they're not him. I don't know about you, but I've had really a good time. I really have. So let's... Won't you stand up? Not everybody. Just the names. You got a name. You're standing for that person. I meant to finish it. You got somebody you want to turn over for good. And it's really good to distinctly isolate maybe a couple, two people. Or, I mean, really, just don't get haphazard and run off down a path that you say so much stuff you can't even remember. He wants you to place them in His hands so you can watch Him. See? You follow it. Watch Him. They're really going to turn them over, because I knew how. I learned how. The devil tried everything to kill that love that's in me. Instead, replace it with accusations or why or won't do it. What he hates the worst about me. So how do you know? Because he told me. When I said, no, I'm not buying it, he said, then I'm going to kill you. If you could do that, I'd already be dead. So just shut up. But he knows that when something's released to God, you think, will he go after him? Listen to me. Look at the price he paid to get Adam back. 4,000 years to the death of his son. He just lost his first one. He went through all of that to get him back. Pay a price of somebody like his son, Jesus, to become something he abhorred. He probably didn't even have the power to understand what being dead like that would be like. You think he didn't buy your whole ticket? It wasn't a physical beating when they nailed him and put him to death. They paid the price. That just sent him where the payment was due. You can't pray for somebody and turn them over to God without that price he paid kicking in. You think money's anything? No. It cost him billions to go after one. It's not even an issue. No. Now, and you're going to bring somebody to him. Give him what he needs to go after him. And don't think for a moment that he won't.
But there's a remote island.
There's no remote island isolated from anybody that's never seen anybody in their life. They lift their face and want to know the true and living God, that he'll not get somebody there. What do you think people got translated over space? Why, so some island could escape somebody begging to know the true living God to be saved? He'll get somebody to him. When we get to that part in prayer, you just say their name out. It'll go something like this: and Father God, I'm offering to you. And then I'll say the name, you say the name. Are you ready? Have you got them? Father, I want to know more about this kind of authority. I do. With all my heart. And there's a lot I didn't understand before, but love's cleared that up. I'll do it now. Can this get any better? With all my heart, I thank you that you left us a trail.
And we can put people on it that we love. We love them with all our heart, but they don't know you. But we know that your invasion into this world, when you come and got your first man back, we know the lengths you'll go. Why would one person be worth more than another? We know the lengths you'll go. So, Father, I'm going to drop off this person or persons to you. In my case, it's a person. But I'm going to drop him off right now. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I am giving to you Tuffy. And I'm calling him saved from this day forward. I'll rejoice, lift you up, and praise you with all my heart that they are saved. And I'm going to get to see them in heaven. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did anybody but me feel a surge of go there?
Yes.
I could stop and go home right now. I'm so edified. I can't stand myself. So just to spare Bronk, I'll get some of this off of me. Listen, you have pain in your body. Anywhere. Oh. Guy, Jason was unloading the truck from food one time. This guy was yelling at me because I wasn't lifting the truck, getting the stuff off of it. He says, "Aren't you going to help?" And so I thought, Aren't you going to help with this? I was just visiting. I just dropped in to visit. Gee. And I said, I would, but my earlobe right here, Chet, right on the end here hurts. I can't do that today. I can. He goes, "Oh God, I can't blame you." Good thing I got saved. So if you have pain anywhere in your body, just remain on your feet and the rest can be seated. How many believes that God's going to come through here and take my...
Yes,
sir. He's going to come through here and take so much pain that the devil's going to be the one sick about it. I can't see it. But he's getting what he needs from some of you now. You know. That's what teaching is supposed to do. It's supposed to increase, and faith comes by hearing. Until you get past an obstacle and then your faith kicks in and it's yours. I'll do anything he says, and I like to make sure that I don't miss anything. But I can tell you he is speaking a little bit in the future tense here. That some of you are going to leave with things that you just dreamed you'd have. And if you don't have them then, you'll know how to get them. It's what grace is. It's when you really do trade your weakness off and you're standing for His. And you can just walk into the problem and watch God beat it to pieces. Are you hearing me? With that, it's been my pleasure serving you from His table this morning. God bless you.